Good morning, children of the Most High God. What a privilege it is to be with you today and talk to you about something very intimate. I'm going to do something today a little bit different. I'm going to take you into a deep dive with me into some of my God time that I spend in the morning, my first hour plus every day is spent with Jesus in prayer and meditation and just thinking on things of God, listening to His voice, and to get myself quiet so that I can focus on Jesus and just quiet my heart down and hear from heaven and write it down if I need to. And this was a 10-page plus journaling. I will truncate it for you guys. But the gist of it is getting unstuck. Getting unstuck. I woke up the other morning and the verse that was coming to my heart during my meditation time was, "Pour out your heart to me. Pour out your heart to me," which is something I rarely do. I'm usually pouring my heart out to Jesus, interceding for other people or the world or doing spiritual warfare. But really, it's been a while since I took the cover off my heart and really got honest with Jesus about Pego. And I know He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, but somehow He wants us to tell Him, express it. And the thing that came to my heart to share, pour out my heart, is how do I get so distracted that I forget that God's promises are already mine, that everything that God has ever promised in the Word or given me in a word of revelation, I've already got it. I don't have to sweat it. I don't have to work for it. And then when He says that He wishes above all things that we would prosper and be health, as our soul prospers, I've already got that. There's no work I can do to receive it other than believe it's mine. And that morning I had to really go drill down into the center of my soul. And honestly, this takes courage even to do this with Jesus, to take an authentic look at yourself and say, what am I really feeling in the depths of my heart, not just in the surface of my mind, but in the depths of my heart and soul. And when I dug deep, the first two words that came to my Pastor Peg, my heart, were afraid and tired. Afraid and tired. Maybe you've been there, one or both, because I've spent the last 5 months dealing with some stomach issues, and I want my life back. I want to feel free to move about the cabin, as they say, without being concerned, am I going to get sick? Am I going to feel terrible in the next 15 minutes and want to go home? I just don't want this or need this hanging over my head, and I don't deserve it. And really, I don't have to live this way other than the fact that there's a crack in my believing somewhere. There's a crack in my armor of God. And the other thing, that feeling of being tired really was that God has given me a beautiful plan of some things that are going to really take Light of Christ to the next level. But to make that happen, we need a lot more financial resources than we have on hand. And then I realized this is not my job. This is anybody in the church who wants outreach or anybody who wants to see the Word of God move in this area. This is everybody's deal. God can work through somebody I've never met. He can work through somebody who's never heard of me and runs across me on the internet. But the main thing is, I was letting myself get under this pressure myself because I didn't want to let Him down. That's probably my biggest challenge in life that I still deal with, is Jesus has done so much for me. I live in a current state of mind. I just don't want to let Him down. I just don't want to let Him down, because He gave everything on Calvary so that I could have eternal life, so that I could share with other people how to have a relationship with Him, so that I could really change the world one heart at a time through Light of Christ. And my personal life and example, living for Christ. This wasn't stuff Jesus was doing. These were pressures I'm putting on myself and may have been connected with my health. Who knows? I didn't ask that part. But I know that God is able to do anything, any way, anyhow he wants. And what had happened over the last year or so, when I'd had a lot of illness, especially, I had really begun to doubt myself. I don't ever doubt him. If I doubt, it's always pointing three fingers at me. You know, it's me, oh Lord. And so I'm having this deep, honest conversation with Jesus about why I'm living up in mental ascent, which isn't good, and I'm not really tapping into the faith of Jesus Christ that's already in my spirit. In other words, mental ascent is when we know the truth in our head, but we're not getting results. So we know that the problem is that we are, as it says in James, double-minded. We're thinking it in our head, but we're not believing it in our heart. And you can say, well, Peg, where do you get that idea? You're going to two different places. Well, just go to Romans 10, 9 and 10, because even for salvation, even to step into the kingdom, you have to confess with your mouth, that's in your head, in your mind, verbally, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your what? Heart, that God has raised him from the dead. That's the head and heart connection given right there, right on the entry pass into the kingdom lifestyle. So at this point in my journaling, in my quiet time with Jesus, I'm talking to Jesus and we're having this conversation. And I said to him, Lord, I know by your stripes I was past tense healed. I know that you wish above all things that I'd prosper and be in health. And those are the exact two things that I need in my life right now. Now I know that you're always true and you're always faithful. This is me talking to Jesus. So Lord, please show me the way to step into and claim my birthright. I need your help. Do you know how much Jesus loves to hear we need him? Do you know how much our Father loves to hear we need him? Why do you think he allowed problems to happen in the first place? Because he knows when we get too fat and sassy, we forget him. Isn't that sad? I mean, he made life beyond our reach, so we have to come to him in order to get it right. And so I came to him like Psalm 51, like David, when David was stuck in a place, and he had done some stupid things because he'd lost sight of his relationship with God. And David cried to the Lord, create in me a clean heart. Clean me up where I'm messed up right now. That's an act of spiritual creation where the Holy Spirit is aiding our spirit to come back in harmony with God, like it says in John chapter 14. I said, help me get a new heart attitude and restore unto me the joy of my salvation, which I've experienced thousands of times in my life. I just had to get back on the bicycle. And help me receive what's already mine. And so I could feel creeping in at the edges of my head, you know, head and heart. Well, even if he does this, Peg, how's he going to do it? See, this is human. This is the human nature. This is the struggle, the battlefield of the heart and mind, where we have to have the courage. The only way I know to win in the battlefield is of heaven, the spiritual warfare, is to have a constant union with Jesus and him leading the way. And he brought me back to one fundamental truth, and this is really what got the wheels greased, you know, that only God can take what the devil means for your harm and turn it to your good. And this is where knowing scripture really comes in handy, because that kind of lit the fuse. So my prayer continued. I wasn't through whining yet. You know, I had to have that moment of whining. Jesus, I claim all of these old negative feelings are just that. They are old. They are yesterday. They have no power over me. They're in my rearview mirror. Help me break the yoke of bondage over my own heart and mine so I can get unstuck. Because I knew that faith comes from my heart and not my head. And it takes both. Because my rational mind remembered the number one thing I can do to break the log jam when I'm in one of these places, which I've been here before and I'll probably be back again if the Lord tarries, is to visualize being unstuck. What's it going to look like when I feel great? What's it going to look like when this podcast is out there? What's it going to look like when we're reaching people on Zoom on an international basis? How's that victory going to feel? What's it going to feel like to witness, have a testimony? And then, before Jesus even started talking, he reminded me of a painting I haven't thought about in decades. It was a big painting, 3 or 4 feet tall, of a little child, 3 or 4 years old, a little toddler in a diaper, running through a field of grass, beautiful blonde hair blowing in the wind, barefoot with their arms straight up in the air, and just laughing. Their head is back and they're just laughing with freedom and abandon and joy. And Jesus said, "That's what I want to give you today. That's what I want to give you today. Pego, you are already that child with great abandon. Just step into it. Just claim it, dear one." And then Jesus said a very interesting thing. He reminded me that he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Because remember, my question was, I know better. Why am I not doing better? And I reckon that throws self-pity and fear out the window, but it doesn't, because we're human beings and we can get discouraged. I don't know why anybody thinks, because I've been a pastor and into sharing the word for 50 years, I'm perfect. Good Lord, if you think that, you really need to go read some scripture, because our flesh is always going to be imperfect and we're always going to have to renew our mind and step through the battlefield of the mind to keep walking faithfully and receiving from God day by day. And Jesus said, I'm going to quote this as best I can, "Hey, Peg, don't you think I ever felt discouragement when I was on earth? Remember that I was in all points tempted like as you are, but without sin, so I can empathize with you?" And I could see all of a sudden, just like the chosen, I could see Jesus in action when he brought my mind to a section in Matthew chapter 13. We had just preached the sower and the seed and all these amazing parables, and down towards the end, around 54 or something, Jesus had just poured out his heart and soul to these people that he knew. And these parables would help them live in blessings, in power, in strength, in union with God. And here's the fleshly side. Wah, 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 wah. Because these people didn't want to really take a look at their heart and change, you know what they did? They got negative towards the teacher. They got upset with Jesus. And they said, "Well, don't you know who he is? Don't you remember who his father is? The carpenter's son?" I mean, do you think his whole village knew 30 years later that that Mary was pregnant before Joseph and she were joined together in wedlock? Of course they knew. Gossip is very slow to die on the vine. And basically they're saying, "This is the carpenter's son? Who in the dickens does he think he is that he can talk to us about spiritual things?" Not only that, but he never went to rabbinical school. How can he sit here and try to interpret the Bible, what the Old Testament says for us? And so they were just trashing him. And Jesus just said pretty bluntly, "Hey, a prophet's with honor, except in his own country." That's where the old familiarity breeds contempt. They couldn't let go of who they saw him growing up, to realize the man he had become, which is one of the, I mean, these are all the evil fruit of backbiting and talking with bitterness and just tearing other people down. Let go, let go. My gosh, I can talk about my past freely, but if people thought I was still addicted to drugs, a drunk doing crazy things, I wouldn't blame you if you didn't listen to me, because I try to live my creed. I'm a different person today, and I hope you are too if you've been in the Word for a couple of weeks or more, because God is going to always lift you up to better things. And not in another chapter in Mark 3:21, and this really hits close to home. Jesus was in a place where he was ordaining his apostles. He was picking out his 12 apostles and he was ordaining them and, you know, giving them power over demons and other things because the day of Pentecost had not yet come. And read it for yourself. We don't have time to go through it, but his own mother, Mary, who was such a woman of faith, she and his brothers were outside of the place where he was saying, he's lost his mind. He's gone insane. We've got to help him. You know what you call this stuff? You call it fiery darts of the wicked one. Fiery darts. Part of the warfare in Ephesians chapter 6. I mean, Jesus was showing this play out to me just like I was watching him on TV. And how it hurt his heart, but it didn't stop his heart. It didn't crush his heart. Because you know as well as I know, Jesus' knee-jerk reaction to all this kind of stuff was to get alone somewhere, if possible, and pray, minimum to push pause and bring that moment to the Father. That's what we really need to master in our own lives, is making God's words to us a living reality in our own thought process throughout the day. And Jesus went on to say, Peg, one of the reasons I came was to give you my supernatural peace. Well, that's when the waterworks started. To give you my supernatural peace. The tears just rolled down my face. And to give you God confidence. Just like it says in Romans, you have peace with God through me, Jesus Christ. That's one of my many gifts to you. No condemnation. And godly courage. Remember, you can't work for that, Peg. You just have to take it. It's yours. But here you are, fearing things that have not happened yet. That's called evil foreboding. You carried it over from your childhood, and you've got to cut the cord. Let go of evil foreboding and take hold of your royal birthright. That I have already given you my love, my provision, my deliverance. Stop looking at your broken record of a life before me. It will come up like whack-a-mole, but just knock it back into the past. It has no power over you today. You're asking for things for you've already got, my dear one. Your heart has gotten distracted. Everything you want, everything you are working towards already belongs to you. You can relax and let go and let God because we are on your side, waiting to open the floodgates of heaven. And that reminded me the night before I had this conversation, I'd been to a birthday party and I was, towards the end, I was looking around for my phone. I bet nobody out there's ever lost your cell phone. And you know, I just, at that point I was just kind of like, well, if I can't find it, I know whose house it is. They'll call me tomorrow and tell me they have my phone. But then I thought, no, they can't call you. They'll have to email you. Anyway, that's how your mind works, right? It gets on the gerbil, the wheel, right? Trying to figure everything out. So anyway, I'm going around looking for my phone and, I was about to ask one of the people there to call my number so I could hear it ring and find out where it was. And just as I was saying that, I began to turn and somehow my hand kind of brushed my side. And guess what? There was my phone in my back pocket. I had it there the whole time. And you know me, I didn't feel ashamed or anything. I just felt relieved to have it again because, you know, it's just a distraction. And Jesus just said, Peg, that's how you get distracted from me. I am in your heart. I'm not in your back pocket. I'm in your heart. My spirit is living inside your spirit. You are wall-to-wall Holy Spirit right now. The day you got born again, something of a heavenly giant magnitude shifted on the inside. You let go of the spirit of man, that one that is not eternal, and you put on eternal life. You have my spirit flowing literally through the tips of your hair. And then I said, well, Jesus, if it's in my roots, can you dye it for me? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Jesus knows my sense of humor. We get along just fine with it. But look, so many of us live our life chasing our tail for something we've already got. So many of us live our life looking for something that's already in our heart. We've just got to come to Jesus courageously with a naked heart and say, Lord, I messed up. I'm messing up. I got to get back on the good foot. I need to get back where I want to be to enjoy the more abundant life of John 10:10 that you died. Please don't forget that, people. He didn't do that by accident. It wasn't an error on God's part. God wants right in front of your face every day the price Jesus paid, not to bum you out, but to get you to appreciate what you mean to him. And Jesus spoke again. My Father says, I am the Lord thy God. Is anything too hard for me? Of course not. Of course not. And everything Jesus said to me, it was just putting me back together and building me up and loving me, not condemning me, loving me, forgiving me. Because I was ready to change. And that's when I started feeling unstuck, is when he reminded me how much he loved me and that nothing was too hard for our daddy. That's when I had a deep shift, and I'm telling you, if you do this often enough, you feel it in your solar plexus. It's a click. You don't necessarily see it or hear it. You feel it in your heart. And suddenly my heart felt like a bubbling fountain of joy spewing out, it is well, my health is well, the means for this outreach is well, it's on the way, I've already got it, it's all taken care of, thank you Jesus. And Jesus said something personal to me because he wants to do this for all of you, something that's meaningful to you, because you talk about always looking for friends that will understand you. Whether you think this consciously or subconsciously, I'm sorry to tell you, every human is looking for someone who understands them, understands the depth of who they are. And Jesus said, Peg, as many times as I take you on these intense heavenly places to do spiritual warfare for me, for the kingdom, there is nothing more important to me than you, yourself. I love you. I care for you. I appreciate you. I have your life continually before me, reaching out to make you whole where there's a need. And I just knew instinctively, it wasn't even words, it was just one of those heavenly feelings you can't describe, that Jesus has that same love and appreciation for every single one of you, my dear ones who are listening to this right now, those who aren't listening to this. That is how loving he is. That is the magnitude of God's love that was shed abroad through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus conquered every fear known to man. There is no temptation that he didn't take on that was common to every human. He conquered every fear. Don't ask me to explain it. All I got to do is accept it. Just put my hand out and say, thank you for the present, Lord. Because Jesus wants us to understand that he understands our frailty, that he can empathize, not just sympathize, but empathize with our struggles because he lived on this crazy planet. He suffered abuse and the pressure that none of us can even dream about, hardly. He comes always from a place of no judgment, no condemnation. And I jokingly say, God loves me just the way I am, but he loves me too much to let me stay this way. Because he knows we need just general refreshing, general growing, general stepping up to the plate and improving our game. That's life, folks. That's the battlefield of life. That's where we're spending this time in this body, in this phase until we get to paradise. So I said, because I'm not done complaining yet. I'm almost there. That's why I love his patience and compassion. I said, well, Jesus, you know, I know all this stuff. I've seen more miracles than I can shake a stick at. So how is it that I get in these doldrums of unbelief from time to time? And you know what Jesus said? Fair point, right? You have not because you ask not. If we want to know something, I can't figure it out. I need to ask Jesus. And he laughed. I could feel him laughing when he quoted a verse in 2 Peter 2:7 that actually is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It's about Lot and moving into Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, God rescued Lot. Well, that's, said Peg, put your name in there. God rescued Peg. It's past tense. God rescued Peg, a righteous woman. I like to make this stuff personal. Who was worn out by the depraved conduct of wicked people around her on this planet. Wow. He was talking about Lot living in Sodom among these spiritually depraved people. They were unkind. There was hatred. There was backbiting. There was demonology. There was all this kind of crap that just wore him out being in that energy. And it just hit me like a V8, you know? I could have had a V8. Yeah, Peg, you're walking with your wading boots deep into this pretty much every day of your ministry because you're a pastor counselor. And I love doing what I do, but sometimes I forget. And I've had two doctors remind me of this lately, people that don't even know what I really do for a living. They just said, whatever you're doing as a profession, it's putting you under a lot of stress. And I got to learn how to just keep giving it back to the Lord, giving it back to the Lord. If you want to pray for me, that's something you can put in your prayer list for Pego, that I get better of just letting him wash the day away and not taking other people's burdens too personally. I mean, I've come a long way from where I was years ago, but I have a way, obviously I have. Look, I am not afraid to reveal my faults to you because that would be lying. It would be a false prophet. It bothers me when these pastors, and I was under one, that they get raised up to a place of authority and they try to act like they're perfect and they've got it all figured out. What a lie from hell. None of us have it all figured out. So what Jesus said to me basically was, honey, you live in a fallen world and sometimes just the world you live in is going to wear you down. But be of good cheer. Don't get on your case and do exactly what you're doing now. Come to me to fill you up. What you're doing today is so wonderful. Jesus said, you are doing exactly what you need to do, which you are applying the ASK method, A-S-K, A-S-K, the ASK method, which is in Matthew 7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Verse 8, Matthew 7, 8. Look at this. I was in the middle of experiencing this. For everyone who asks, receives. I was doing that. Everyone who seeks, finds. I was doing that. And to everyone who knocks, the door shall be open. Jesus was doing that. And he said, honey, I never go back on my word. Peg, I appreciate your honesty with me. It takes courage, listen to this, to be truly self-aware. Most people hide from that, but that's the only way you truly change. You know what? Jesus was showing me that in essence, we're co-creators with him. Because we create our godly future every time we trust God. Otherwise, we get stuck on that worldly treadmill and we wonder why we have so much mental stress. what he really drove home to me is that I was letting stuff that he was already in charge of tie me into a knot. Things that I already have, like my phone was in my back pocket. He's already in my life working all this out. I don't see how, because we usually get fixated on one way that we think it should happen, where Jesus has a billion doors he can open and bring to pass his promise. I tell you what, when you just get that part in your heart and realize he has 1,000 ways to bless you, 1,000,000 ways to bless you that you can't see, that right there will take an anvil, a weight off your heart. That just one truth. And that just lightens your shoulders. You feel your shoulders drop. You feel your breathing come down. And at that point, I mean, I'm laughing. And I can't get that picture of my phone sitting there right by my rear end. His love is in my heart. His solution is already in me. It's already working in the world to change my future so that I receive the blessings of God. And I just have to move into that place of faith. I love this translation in Hebrews 11:1 that starts out the Hall of Fame of Faith. Listen to this and see how much this relates to what Jesus was telling me. Because faith, that's that trust that's way down deep in your heart, is confidence in what we hope for. Remember, hope is something you don't have in your hand yet, but it is the confident expectation that you have it. You don't have it in your hand. You already have it in your imagination, in your faith, that place where faith lives. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance. When you've got that kind of hope, that faith and hope, assurance about what we do not yet see, that trips up more people than anything I believe I've ever seen in all these decades, is they try to figure out how God's going to do it and they're not happy with his timing, so they start whining and complaining. And what happens then? Your door shuts. You cut yourself off from the gift. What's already yours. And Jesus is just up there. It's like we walk ourselves into a bed of quicksand and he's up there holding his giant hand down saying, grab a hold. Let me pull you out, honey bunny. He doesn't want us to stay stuck. He wants to get us out of the rut every single time. But to do that, we got to quit telling God how to do this. And so much of what he was really shaking the tree and showing me again, so much of this happens on the subconscious level. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Here's the truth. You don't know what your subconscious is saying because it feels natural to you. It feels comfortable to you. It's an old pair of shoes you don't want to get rid of. But when we invite Jesus in courageously to search our heart and say, where am I missing the boat? That's when we get unstuck. Jesus is going to deal with you on the heart level. Heart. That's where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, does its primary work, is in your heart. And Jesus reminded me of something, you know, he showed me in all of his glory on the cross, and he said, remember, Pego, I bought you with a price. This is what you are worth, not were. This is what you are worth to me. And because I bought you, I am responsible to take care of you. It makes me think of that book, The Little Prince, if any of you have ever read it. When, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but when the fox gets tamed, I think he says to the little prince, he says, you know, whoever tames you is responsible for you. Jesus tamed me from low self-esteem, from self-harm, from nihilism, from so many things. There's no point in trying to name them because they roll out the front door. It's a long line. But he brought me into peace, love, joy, a deep-rooted faith. And yes, sometimes we need help to get back on the good foot. You know, we need to come into the locker room of life and have a real, really good pep talk from our coach. And after he fills us with his wisdom, my job is to believe I've already got it. My job is to be not conformed to this world. My job is to have patience in God until it comes to pass His way. My job is to go forth, as He said, doubting nothing. Doubting nothing. That's how we get unstuck. I think that's what He said to Peter in Acts chapter 10 when he went forth to minister for the first time and the Gentiles manifested the Spirit. He said, go forth doubting nothing. I'm going to do a thing. It's going to blow your mind. Don't. You know how many times I've had a miracle happen and I'm actually shocked? Frequently. Because they're so awesome. I hope to goodness I never stop feeling shocked. But in the best way possible. Like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. I can't wait to share how to do this with other people. This is the way to live. And at that point in my meditation with Jesus, I was given the heart of that four-year-old beautiful child with that diaper running through the field, hands up, feeling the joy of life, that everything she was going to see, touch, or smell was all good, good, good. And that's a wonderful way to be. As Martha Stewart would say, it's a good thing. So if you've never been to this church before, you may think you're talking to a crazy woman. Well, apparently Jesus got accused of that himself, so I'm in good company. You may think I've lost my mind, but I'm telling you, talking with God is why He left you here on earth, so you could hear from Him and do His will. And I'm only sharing, as they say in AA, my experience, strength, and hope of something that is already given, listen to this, to every child of God, not to a certain few, not to a chosen holy ones, not to, quote, saints. You know, saints is anybody who's born again. There's no individual. If you're in the child of God, you're called a family of God, you're called a saint. But every one of you listening to this can talk to God anytime, any place, under any condition. I don't care if it's day, night, at home, in a posture of faith, in a nightclub. You can hear from God. You can learn to quiet yourself down. I call it tuning my radio station to WGOD, tuning out the world and tuning in to the Spirit, and you can hear Him anytime, any place, at your discretion. That, can you imagine not wanting to do that every day? I personally can't. I mean, I brush my teeth twice a day, and they're only teeth. Why would I not talk to God minimum, deeply, once a day, who's going to give me words of life? Heavens to Betsy. So that's why I was inspired to give you a play-by-play example of how it works. I mean, every time is different. There are no two that are alike. This just happened to be one where I could share with you. I'm not going to talk about your troubles because I have a confidentiality agreement with God. But I have, somehow it's open season on Peg talking. Talking about her troubles, it's like when he told me to write a book about my past, and I said, you've got to be kidding. So somehow that's part of my ministry, Adventures in Pego Land. I talk from the heart. I talk from true experiences. Hopefully the fresher, the better. And if I have helped you come one step closer to wanting to hear from God, or upping the time you spend hearing from God, or believing deeply, more deeply that you can hear from God, or asking somebody in light of Christ, how do I hear from God? Then I've done my job, because that was the point of this whole sharing, how to get unstuck. You got to have God's help. There's nothing in man that's going to do that for you. Look, it was the world that got me in the soup in the first place. Why am I going to go back to my rational worldly thinking to try to get me out of the soup? I got to go to heaven and find heaven's solution to this problem, because we live in both kingdoms at the same time, and we have free reign to reach over into the abundance of heaven, reach over to Jesus, and bring the treasures into our life on the here and now basis. I can't go through it, but if you would read Ephesians chapter 1, it would back up everything I'm saying in this sharing. God wants you to know the riches of your inheritance. You know, to believe in the greatness of His calling, to know that you've got the power that raised Jesus from the dead within you. Look it up. Read it. It might bless you. But look, folks, the thing that most churches around the world are missing today, as beautiful as they can be in other areas, they haven't yet grasped that when you're born again, you immediately have the ability to hear God's voice. You immediately have the ability to talk with Jesus at will. And that, my friends, is the most crucial thing that's coming back into the zeitgeist, the overall thinking of the Christian religions, churches. And if you know what the Overton window is, the Overton window is what people will accept to be true. The Overton window is moving back where we understand this happened all through the book of Acts, and it is certainly available to the church in 2026. We're coming back to something that used to be in the Overton window. All the believers in the first century church were basically exposed to this kind of thinking. It got lost in the Dark Ages, and now we're coming back like a whirlwind to grab a hold again of what our Father has given us, which is the ability to walk and talk with Him every day, anytime, any place. Our biggest need is still, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted above the nations. To be still and hear His voice throughout the day. So, Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are the only one that can get us unstuck from anything. To truly get unstuck, we have to follow the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. You have the words of freedom. You have the words of liberty. You have the words to help us love bigger, to receive deeper, and to be more thankful. Hearing You is what it takes to get rid of all the tension in our stomach, to feel our shoulders drop, to release all the tension and stress on the inside. That is the number one step to getting all answers to prayer, to relax in Your presence, under the shelter of Your wing, just like it says in Psalm 91, falling back into Your warm embrace and just snuggling in Your loving arms. We thank You, we thank You, we thank You, and we praise You. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Love you. Bye.